Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. I am your host, Rick Stevens, and this is your show. Folks, remember, if you've got questions you'd like to have answered, if there is a topic you'd like to hear a little bit more about on a future Money Matters episode, feel free to give me a call at 719-500-8700. You can also shoot me an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com, or simply go to our website, frsfinancialgroup.com. Click that contact tab up there in the top right corner. You can send us that question, send us that message, send us that topic you want to hear more about. We would love to hear from you. Well, folks, this week on Money Matters, we are in studio, as always, with my co-host, Andrew Rogers. Andrew, it's the fall.
It is the best time of the year.
Yeah, you know, we got football starting. Baseball, for my team anyway, is coming up, and it looks like they'll be in the postseason. So it's a good time of year in the Stevens house.
Yeah, college football underway. Once we got kind of a lot of those extended preseason exhibition matchups out
yes.
of the way last weekend.
And you know, one of the fun parts with that last weekend, you know, CU was supposed to be that preseason, you know, easy little cupcake matchup, but Coach Prime had had a little bit to say about that.
Yeah. I mean, Coach Prime has a little bit to say all the time, and it'll be exciting seeing how this moves ahead now that there is the actual tape, and there is the actual team, not three from last year and a bunch of transfer portal names.
Yep. Well, you know, they could have actually, in theory, been watching all the YouTube videos that have been out there about practice,
Goodness.
Though. The fun parts all through there. But yes, folks, we actually this week are taking, I'm not necessarily going to say a complete and total sidebar here on Money Matters, because we're going to talk about money, Andrew.
Because your money matters.
Yes. Yes, it does. But we're going to talk about it since it is the start of the NCAA football season. It's the start of the NFL season coming up here with most of the games coming up on Sunday, though there is that Thursday nighter that I'm pretty sure you're going to be watching.
Yeah, that's the down part about recording a Saturday show on a Wednesday morning.
I don't know.
It's the anticipation still.
Well, the key to that, though, is you could be still happy today, because I don't know how that game's going to turn out on Thursday.
I don't know. It's all depending on one hyperextended knee at this point.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So, folks, we are talking this week on Money Matters basically about how your money and dealing with it, thinking about it, not only in terms of the investment world, but also looking at it from that overall perspective. It kind of mirrors, Andrew, a football team.
It does.
You know, we've got offense, we've got defense, we've got special teams, and we've got the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit today about how all of that works together when we're talking about your investments.
Okay.
So I want to start with that, you know, exciting part that glitz, the glamour.
Mm-hmm.
That's the offense.
Yeah.
Unless you were like the 85 Bears or what was it, the 2000 Ravens. Then we had the defense as the glitz.
Yeah.
But for the most part, offense is that really shiny object in football games.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where, you know, it's what gets everybody excited. And it seems like a lot of the rules are more skewed towards these days.
Yes. Yes, and you know, interestingly enough, when we think about playing offense mm-hmm. with our investments, That's that part of putting your money away and seeing the growth component going on. You know, if we look at where things are these days, you know, coming into the week, so these are numbers that were as of September 4th. Okay, so as of September 4th, one of those very glamorous areas, if you will, on the markets, and in particular looking at specific sectors. So think of it as these guys are kind of like the wide receivers mm-hmm. at this point, right? You get big yardage, you're scoring big points, they're doing their end zone dance. And for this year, that's information technology. That's mm-hmm. the IT world.
Yeah.
Right? Up 44, almost 45% on the year. Coming into the week, now we've seen the pullback start here at the beginning of the week, but as of September 4th, your information technology was up 44.99% since January.
Whew.
That's kind of that's like a 50-point first half.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a lot of gradient going on there.
Yes, 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 indeed. And you know, that close second, that good 1-2 punch, if you will, from your offense, mm-hmm. communication services. Year-to-date, up 44.38%.
Yeah.
So if all you had were IT and communication stocks this year, your portfolio is looking really good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more than just this year.
Yeah.
Because if all you had were IT and communication services last year, well, IT last year was down 28.19%. And last year, communication services were down 39.89%.
Yeah.
So
you'd be playing from behind a lot.
Considerably. You would be like my Bears the last few years, pretty much eliminated before halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Would be kind of the way to look at that. So one of the things as we're building offense, right? Because I know that you saw some of that run-and-shoot offense back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
You may remember some of those days out there where it was just, you know, you're throwing a ball down the field, you're sending five guys in the pattern, and hopefully you're putting up a bunch of points.
Yeah, kind of what you'd expect out of, you know, like the Big 12 looking at college football. Just spread them out, let them go.
Exactly. And sometimes even with the Pac-12 or 15 or 27 or however many they've
three.
Got this year, but, you know, half a team next year. So that big run and shoot, try to get that go, 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 go. But when it doesn't work, it is also a spectacular failure.
Yeah. And that's where you got to mix in some of those more stable, you know, kind of small yardage plays. Just keep it moving, you know, some more groundwork as well.
Exactly. You get that, you know, 3 yards and a cloud of dust sort of concept out there. And some of those pieces we have seen this year that are in that, you know, 3 yards, 4 yards and a cloud of dust sort of thing. First, we've got to take a look at how do they compare to what markets overall are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the NASDAQ year-to-date coming into this week was up over 40%. The S&P 500 was up almost 19%. It was 18.93%. And the Dow Industrials were up almost 7%. They were 6.73% coming in. So my 3 yards, 4 yards, and a cloud of dust players, the you know what, they're not big, they're not beautiful, they're not producing these giant numbers, but they're still producing. Year-to-date, you get the materials sector, right? So we're mm-hmm. thinking raw materials, manufacturing. It's up almost 9% year-to-date. Energy is up 5% year to date, and industrials as a whole are up 11.7%. And if we continue to kind of compare that to last year, energy was great last year.
Yeah.
65% to the plus side. So every once in a while, you get one of those guys that, you know, it's three yards here, 4 yards here, 5 yards. Now we're back to four. But then all of a sudden, as a Lions fan, you'll remember this, Barry breaks one for 70, 80, 90 yards after running another 70 or 80 east and west to get away from guys before he starts running north and south.
You know, I'm pretty sure you can just replace that this year with Jamar.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see about that. Because last year, yes, energy was huge, huge, but If you look at energy over a five-year period, mm-hmm. because as I'm sitting with folks, helping them build portfolios, the long term is what really, really matters here because that makes things a little more predictable. Over the last 5 years, energy has averaged about 9.3%. In that same time frame, the S&P 500 has averaged 11, the NASDAQ 16, the Dow Industrials 8. So, slow and steady over that grand scheme. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be those we're making the big play every 3 weeks sort of a thing. But every few years, yes, it pops a very good number and then typically is coming back to that nice, slow, steady, and it's predictable. Predictable is good.
Yeah. And then it also kind of looking at that too, and I might be jumping ahead a touch, but you know, kind of same thing as far as your overall growth and your timing, as well as kind of that similar to that game management, whereas you're building your portfolio, and obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the expert here, that you'd want to be more apt to make those big plays, make those big splash plays earlier in the game, but once you've kind of got it knotted up, or, you know, once you've got that comfortable lead, that's where you also change your strategy. You don't want to be going for those 50, 60-yard bombs all the time, and you're comfortable just controlling the clock, staying on the ground, and just keeping that more predictable, manageable, kind of, you know, eat up the clock for the rest of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And ultimately, what that comes back to is the idea of risk management, right? Risk management, when we're building portfolios, that's absolutely something we've got to look at, because when you've got a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old or, quite frankly, even a 40-year-old, you can afford to take more risk because we've got, depending on what we're looking at, but in particular, I'm thinking in the retirement world here, we've got 20, 30, 40 years that, you know, if we've got something that doesn't work beautifully early on, we can actually still recover from that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get out to a big start, and I'm going to actually take our neighbors a little bit further to the north here, University of Wyoming, this past weekend. They had a rough start against Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Right? Tech came out, put a couple touchdowns and a field goal on the board early, but the key to that, it was early. And the folks in Wyoming able to make some adjustments and ultimately come back and win that game in the end in overtime. But because it was early, they were able to sort of recover from, you know, maybe some of those risks they took both offensively and defensively mm-hmm. early in that game, made some adjustments along the way. Same thing in when we're looking at that retirement and that time frame. If we've got 30, 40, 50 years that we're kind of thinking, you know, I'm not going to need this money, and I've got a certain sector, and in, you know, one particular year, and let's take 2022 as the example. Let's say in 2022, I've got a 25-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And that 25-year-old, we are heavily into some of that technology. We are heavily into those more aggressive areas. Well, we can recover from that minus 25, minus 30, minus 40% in year one much easier than if we were that 55, 60-year-old
mm-hmm.
having a bulk of what we've got in that technology world and taking a minus 30 then.
Yeah.
It becomes a lot easier. One of those pieces as well, as we're kind of talking about that mix and match, talking a little bit about the game planning and the game strategy, if you look over the last 20 years, and we start to break down those different areas, right, the different ways that you could be invested. And the way I oftentimes break this up, I start with what we call market capitalization.
Yeah.
Meaning large cap, great big companies, mid cap, medium-sized companies, small cap. Believe it or not, Andrew, those are the small companies.
Oh, that's what you mean by that.
That's what that means. Yeah. And then we also look at things like growth versus value. And I know we talked value with Bill Smead a couple of weeks ago. Value basically meaning what do we think the company is worth versus what is its stock selling for. And these aren't the companies that are looking for that 10, 20, 30% growth year over year.
Mm-hmm.
These are those, you know, we might be a little bit on the sale side, if you will, for that. We also use that real estate portion. We look internationally. We look from the fixed income or the bond side as well. And oftentimes, we'll even use a piece of commodities as that. So commodities, for the folks that aren't necessarily familiar with that, that does include things like gas and oil, right? Things that have a market price. It also includes things if folks out there have heard about, you know, pork bellies, right? Which literally is where we get the bacon from, right? The pork bellies. Those are actually are for sale. You can buy that as a commodity. It also includes precious metals as well in there. And if we look over the last 20 years in the market, your number one category, if you will, over those 20 years is the large cap growth.
Yeah.
And over the last 20 years, your large cap growth category has averaged 10.76%, 10.75% over 20 years, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's why we take the look over 20 and then make the year adjustments, if you will, because you know what? Out of those categories was the big loser last year, Andrew? I think I've set this up well. I want to hear the good guess.
Commodities.
Almost.
Almost.
This is 2022, the loser.
Okay.
So our number one category for 20 years has been large cap growth.
Mm-hmm.
In 2022, large cap growth was the big loser for the year at minus 29%.
Okay. All right. I was looking more specific categories, not the overall.
Yes.
My apologies, Professor Stevens.
Well, that's okay. That's why this is all open book and open notes, okay. So that it doesn't matter when we learn, we just learn here.
Yeah.
So that idea was if we were only basing decisions for the upcoming year based on what happened in the previous year, we would have looked at that and probably said, well, large cap growth, you can't do anything in growth stocks, so let's not put any of that in our basket of goods.
Yeah, and that's like looking at your game plan as well. Just because, you know, maybe that one facet, maybe your run game didn't work 1 week against a certain opponent doesn't mean you don't go back and try again the next week knowing what you have kind of on your roster. You can't just sit there and say, well, you know what? We finished a really good defense this week. We can't just all of a sudden sit all of our running backs. We're only going to go five wide the entire game and hope for the best.
Exactly. And it's also the same thing. There's even that in-game planning. So if we think about, you know, in-game is the current year, full season. That's the entirety of our investing world. Even in-game, you're going to run a little halfback option in, you know, the first quarter. And the defensive line sees everything, snuffs it out, it's a 3-yard loss, you're not just going to never run that play again, even in that same game, right? You might make a couple of adjustments. You might block it a little bit differently. You might start instead of out of a single back set, maybe you're going to start actually out of a two back, or maybe you're going to start it out of the shotgun the next time.
Yeah.
Give a little bit different look, send somebody in motion. All kinds of different options to getting to the same play, but maybe tweaking it just a little bit along the way.
Yeah, and that's what comes with having, you know, those, you know, coaches and able to make those adjustments, because you also can't just try to be like Oklahoma last week.
Right.
And just rely on a, you know, 73-0 turnout and get that one big windfall and just, you know, say, all right, I'm good. You've got to be able to have those adjustments and make those kind of assessments as you're going. You can't just look for one windfall and say, all right, well, lucked out, won the lottery, got a portfolio, kick back on Easy Street.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's one of those pieces when you do have that good coaching staff and, you know, on that investment side, that coaching staff, that really is your advisor. Even the multiple advisors, not necessarily multiple financial advisors, but looking with your CPA, talking to your investment person, talking to your insurance folks, looking at that whole big picture, because even though you had a 73-0 win, that doesn't mean there aren't adjustments that still might need made for the following year.
Yeah, or talking to your tax guy to know what you're going to have to face after putting up such a giant score as well.
Exactly, exactly. Well, folks, we are up against a break here in today's show. When we come back, we will be talking a little bit more about the world of football, taking a look at that coaching side, and what all of that has to do with your money. So stick around. We will be right back.
Does stock market volatility have you wondering which way is up? Do the talking heads and doomsayers have you wondering if this really is the end? If you want straight answers from an advisor who isn't just trying to sell you something, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment today. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. I'm Andrew Rogers, along with Rick Stevens, and we're talking about your money, but kind of using that football analogy, because football is back.
And, yes, it is.
Rick, during that first section, talked a lot about the offense, but we know in many cases, defense still wins championships. And
yes,
as we're looking to kind of get to that ultimate, you know, let's say championship goal, that ultimate championship parade of a, you know, healthy, stable retirement, we've got to have some defensive strategy as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the old adage, I think if we get the full adage in there, it's offense wins games, defense wins championships.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you've got to win those individual games along the way, but to really put together that successful championship type run, to actually have a portfolio that, as we have gone through time, has grown to the point we're going to be able to actually look at that pile of money and say, yes, it's going to generate the income for me, that's when we start looking at the defensive side of those portfolios, of those risk levels, and the amount of risk that we're actually taking inside of our portfolio.
Yeah, so how do we do that? How do we take our portfolio and kind of come at it from that defensive mindset of defending what we've already got and making sure that we are, you know, kind of limiting that, you know, liability and volatility moving ahead?
Yeah, we look at that in a number of different ways. Ultimately, the big umbrella here is about protecting what you would call your downside risk.
Okay.
You could take that risk early. We've already talked about that. When you are in those younger years, you've got a lot of years ahead, you can be very heavily invested in not only the equities, the stock side of it with those mutual funds, but you can even be more aggressive depending on the kind of sector mix that you've got in there.
Would that be kind of an upside risk then?
Yes, that is. That is the upside risk. And that idea of capturing a lot of the upside early on, so that you don't have to capture as much of it later on.
Yeah.
Right? So if you think about, we've gone out and we've built a 20-point, 25-point, 30-point lead at the half, it doesn't mean we don't play offense in the second half. We only go to defense. It just means we might scale back the risk on the offense, mm-hmm, and maybe ramp up the defense a little bit.
Yeah, put more of that focus on, all right, defense, now it's your job to kind of ice this and keep us, you know, from having to go back into that, all right, we got to go make up points mood.
Exactly, exactly. And the way we do that in portfolios is, when you're younger, you might have a 100-0 or a 90-10 split in your portfolio. And we say it like that because that's the split between your equities, your stock investments, and your bond or your fixed income investments. So early on, we're 100% or 90% or somewhere in the middle of that, looking towards that growth side of things, looking on that equity side, and somewhere between 0 and 10% on the bond. But as we get closer to those retirement years, maybe those last 3, 4, 5 years before we say, hey, I want to hang this up, we dial back that risk. We become more conservative. We still want some growth. Hence the term conservative growth sort, mm-hmm, of portfolio. And some of you out there, depending on what media sources you hear, you may hear it referred to as a 60-40. That means 60% equities, 40% fixed income, or 60% growth, 40% fixed. Some of that, it might be called conservative growth. Sometimes it's called growth with income. Sometimes it's called moderate growth.
Mm-hmm.
But just realizing that instead of focusing 100% on our offense, We're focusing more in that 60% range. Some years maybe up to 65 or 68. Some years maybe down to 55. But really trying to balance that out, because one of the big things that fixed income usually, and I got to throw the usually word out there, because 2022 was the anomaly in this. But usually speaking, your fixed income is very predictable. And oftentimes I tell folks, if you think about this as a seesaw or a teeter-totter where I grew up,
yeah,
you've got the board, you've got that fulcrum in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
As one side goes up, the other goes down.
Yeah.
Typically, though, that fulcrum's not perfectly in the middle. It's actually skewed to the side of the fixed income, which means that bigger movement on the equity side usually results in a small movement the opposite direction on the fixed income.
And is that where we saw that kind of inverted yield and those short-term versus long-term rates and things like that really push that fulcrum to the other side, where really the long-term became real unstable, and we saw that in the bank failures and whatnot, but the short-term became a little bit more easygoing?
So that's where the correction has come in. 2022 was weird in that that fulcrum was gone.
Yeah.
There was no fulcrum. So 2022, when looking at bonds versus your large cap growth, last year that large cap growth as a whole, down 29%. However, your fixed income side, your bonds as a whole, the aggregate bond market in 2022 was down 13%. So you had both of them in double-digit negatives.
Okay.
That's the first time that has ever happened when we've measured markets. First time ever that that happened. So sometimes, yeah, both your offense and your defense are really bad, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Just ride.
Just ride. Just ride. Hopefully, you can look at that and go, okay, this week, instead of being beaten by 40, maybe we can only be beaten by 25.
Yeah. I mean, there's always the future draft picks. You can always look ahead.
Yes.
To those halcyon days when things get back to normal.
Yes, yes. You hope, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, those draft picks don't always work out. Not always.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes if you've got like two picks in the first round that are pretty close to one another, and you've got some offensive adjustments you can make, but you could also solidify a defense, sometimes you can get those two guys in the first round that even as rookies, Andrew, are going to help you a little bit.
Or sometimes you could just, you know, earn it and then find a way to maybe trade it away and find some ways to other ways, you know, bolster yourself back up.
Very true. Very true. And sometimes you just draft Cade McNown. Just speaking as a Bears fan.
Or Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, hey, we only had to trade away some guys to move up from the third to the second spot to do that, and San Francisco wasn't taking Trubisky or Holmes anyway.
Yeah.
So, minor issues there. But that defense, right, that defense, even in and of itself, comes in with some adjustments along the way, and you kind of alluded to it there a little while ago. There's the short-term fixed income, and in fact, they actually now have an ultra-short fixed income category,
okay,
which basically means that the bonds that are part of those categories are being held for less than 3 months. They have less than 3 months until they've matured, so literally, you're only keeping that for the interest those last 3 months. You're not looking to grow anything big. A lot of ultra-shorts typically are getting you maybe 1%. Sometimes 3/4, maybe all the way up to 1.25%. But you're just looking for that little bit right here to stabilize some things. Then you have your short-term fixed income. That's usually anything 5 years and under. Then you have your intermediate. That's 5 to 10 years. Then you have your long-term fixed, and that is 10-plus years. That's where, when we are looking at that defensive piece, it's what kind of defense do we need to play?
Yeah.
Can we take a little bit more risk defensively, which oftentimes means we're going to look in that intermediate duration, in that 5 to 10 years, because that usually has the most ups and downs. Because if I've got a 30-year bond, I know how much it's paying for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if I've got that, you know, 3 years left on this particular bond, it's going to be pretty stable. But it's that intermediate range, that 5 to 10, where you can get some of the extra risk in there. Usually you'll see if we're talking about a mutual fund, and it's they'll call them a high yield mutual fund. Oftentimes those are either A, in that 5 to 7 year average range or average duration left for the bonds that are there. They also have a little bit higher interest rate risk. You know, we talked about the U.S. government being dropped down from AAA to AA rated. Oftentimes, when you have a high yield fund, you've got the intermediate length and the duration, somewhere between 5 and 10 years, and you have a little higher credit risk, because a higher credit risk means a higher interest rate being paid. So you're going to see more of the double B and the single B bonds in that side of the equation, which isn't nearly as defensive as the short and the ultra short and the AA, AAA rated bonds.
Okay.
So there are different types of defense, I guess, is what we're getting at here. And even as we're moving through that game, if we start at 100-0, maybe about halfway through, we move to 90-10. And as we're getting towards that fourth quarter, we're pulling it back to maybe a 70-30 before we ultimately get to that 60-40 sort of a piece. And we're just going to adjust along the way.
Yeah, you don't always have to run, you know, like a hard blitz or things like that. You can move to, you know, some intermediate zones and get towards that ultimate, you know, just prevent, just a couple guys up front, have guys back up against whatever, you know, the target line might be, things like that, just to prevent any stray plays that could ultimately switch the end of game for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that is where you've got to have your good coaching staff in there, right? That's where you want those folks who are looking at what's going on, who have, for lack of a better term, they've been there, they've done that.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have the rookie head coach and the rookie coordinators and the rookie position coaches out there all, you know, kind of flailing around and halfway guessing this is what might happen. But folks that have kind of been through that fire before to say this is what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Yeah, we need people who, you know, can actually sit there and manage the game clock as well. You don't need the fans in the entire stadium counting down the play clock trying to get to the coach.
Yeah, you know, it's I got to say, if I'm the quarterback out there on the field and it's a home game and I hear the crowd counting down 5, 4, 3, I might be a little frustrated at that point. Not that there was a team to the north of us that dealt with that last year.
I mean, it's fine.
I'm just saying. Although, now that they have a new head coach who is what I like to call seasoned, he's been there, done that. By the way, the last time the Broncos had a coach from the same school that their current coach graduated from, you know what they did?
They had a pretty decent run.
They had a pretty decent run. They may have won a couple Super Bowls with another former Eastern Illinois University Panther.
Yeah. But
not that as an EIU alum, I am a fan of things like that.
But then again, we also learned, too, this summer that the other guy we were talking about earlier, we probably should have kept his name out of our mouths.
Oh,
we don't want to draw the ire of
the
strange one.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So as we're looking at these things, as we're talking about this, looking at that defense, yes, it's knowing what to do, when to do it, and making those adjustments here, Andrew, in such a way that, A, it makes some sense into how they're happening, but B, it's also not making some wild, crazy, sweeping, wholesale change.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that happen before as well, where, yes, there are some changes going on in the market, and I have seen cases where folks have made these massive, sweeping, wholesale changes because they thought, oh my goodness, this is falling apart, I have to change everything.
Yeah.
That'd kind of be like saying, you know what, guys, we're down by 21. We're actually going to bench every last one of you for the rest of the game, and we're bringing up the practice squad. probably not going to work so well.
Probably not. But yeah, that's where you've got to have that consistency and, again, that, you know, long-term goal and knowing that you can just make a couple in-game adjustments or realize, hey, you know what? They've realized we're going for a man blitz every third down with this look. Maybe we can try zone coverage for a little bit. Maybe we can dial it back. Simplify. Maybe if you do simplify that, that's how you go from a 1-6 start to a winning record at the end of the year.
You know, there may have been a team that that wears the Honolulu Blue that you know, kind of went back to the basics, and sometimes that's exactly what you have to do.
Yeah, had to simplify and realize, hey, you know what? This is, you know, we got a little too into one groove. Go back, look at the defense. Just do some simple jobs. Look at, as you mentioned, those simple things that we can look at, those yields, make sure that we're taking care of what we need to, and then we can go back to getting a little bit more exotic down the road once we have the short-term fixed and a little bit more stable.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, oftentimes, and you know, obviously we see it through coaching staffs, we see it happen in football games, and we see it happen inside of portfolios. People actually can overthink. I know, hard to believe. People can overthink things, and they can actually try to make this big, massive, insanely complex concept when basically all you had to do was to keep it simple.
Yeah.
It's you know, I come back to one of my favorite lines, and it's not from a football movie, but it is from a baseball movie, right? From the movie Bull Durham.
Okay.
Baseball is a simple game. You hit the ball, you catch the ball, and you throw the ball.
Yeah.
Simple, when we can do the simple, it works, right? Simple works in football. You block, you throw, you catch, you run.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. We can come back to those basics. We do the same thing with the portfolios. We don't have to have this, you know, exotic investment over here and that exotic investment over there, and we're running 75 different concepts, because more often than not, when we're doing things like that in our portfolios, we outsmart ourselves.
Yeah, and that's what you want to look at, too, on that coaching side and that advisor. You want, you know, maybe someone who is going to be able to go up there, have that post-game press conference, give just a couple answers of, yeah, happened. We're moving on. We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to this. We don't need, you know, the wild, crazy sound bites. You just might need a grumpy guy in a hoodie saying, yeah, we're going to look at this. We're moving on.
Sometimes. Well, folks, we are up against that final break in today's show. When we come back, I don't know. I'm not wearing a hoodie, but can I be the grumpy guy in a hoodie, Andrew?
You know, I've used a lot of words to describe Rick. I don't think I've ever used grumpy for you, but we can try.
Okay. Well, we'll do that when we come back right here on Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial, right here on KRDO. Stick around. We will be right back.
Money affects each of us in different ways. Sometimes it's a source of stress and fear. Sometimes it's a source of comfort and security. Whatever your perspective, it's always good to get a second set of eyes on your finances to help serve as a guide. If you are looking for that guidance, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC.
Well, folks, thanks for sticking with us through that break. Rick Stevens with you here on Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. Andrew Rogers in studio with me. We are geeking out this week, Andrew, on the football talk, but also how it makes a difference in your money life.
Yeah, it's a wonder that we could stretch almost any topic back towards sports if we try hard enough.
It's true. It's true. We can stretch just about anything. I mean, you think about all the war analogies that we already have, right? We're going into battle. We're going to throw some bombs. This guy's huge. He's an absolute tank out there on the field.
Yeah.
We can make anything work in that sports world, because the sports world really does mirror that world around it. And yes, you make some bad draft picks, and you've got enough bad draft picks, you're going to have a bad several seasons. Mm-hmm. And that's like having a bunch of bad choices for what you've put into your portfolio, making those choices over the years, where whether that's you got to be really conservative really fast because you got scared, or you stayed too aggressive for too long. And, you know, we saw stuff happen like that in 2008, where folks were very aggressive and coming into their retirement years lost 30-40% of their portfolio value over 18 months because they stayed too aggressive too long.
Yeah.
And we could have seen some of that last year as well. I know I've talked to a number of different folks who were like, oh my goodness, how in the world can it happen this way? And some of them were even in that well-diversified portfolio, that 60-40 mix, that even in 2022 was in the negative double digits.
Yeah.
Even at that 60-40 mix. So, what are the things we can be doing here to, you know, kind of keep that a little bit more in check? Andrew, that's the special teams mm-hmm. of all of this. Definitely not the most glorious. It's rare that a special teams guy is the big standout in anything. Devin Hester, notwithstanding.
Or, you know, the occasional, you know, Justin Tuckers, those guys that, you know, are kind of the exception that proves the rule.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Yes.
Really, that special teams is what everything else you do, those kind of, as you may say, those unsung yet integral members of the team that really could be the difference between ultimately winning and losing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when we're talking about that, as we're moving into those retirement years, you've got some very important pieces of that special teams. Number one is budgeting, mm-hmm. right? Knowing what your inflow is, knowing what your outflow is, and making sure that they are on the same team, yeah. right? Because you want your long snapper and your holder and your place kicker all to be thinking the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you don't want the snap to come too soon. You don't want it to be too late and throw off some timing. And in fact, when you have that snap come back, you also don't want that kicker to take that initial hesitation because as Coach Prime and CU found out, just that short hesitation, that half a beat hesitation can actually get your kick blocked if you're not careful. So we've got to be all on that same page. So knowing our inflows, knowing our outflows, and making sure that we're working that piece of it together.
Yeah, you've got to make sure you get the laces out and you're ready to go. But I've got a question, and this is okay. A little bit more of a sidebar and a tangent based off of everything we've already talked about. We talk a lot about that term fixed income, and especially putting it on that retirement age where you have that fixed amount.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, isn't that always what you have? Because it's not like your, you know, salary, things like that, unless you're on a crazy commission scale, it's not like you're gonna have those giant swings as well. So really, you're that income, if you think about it, is fixed through the majority of your working year. You're ready when it just changes the amount that you have to fix it upon.
Exactly. And that's one of those things, as you know, we're budgeting not just in the retirement years, but quite frankly over the course of our lifetime.
Yeah.
Knowing that I've got X dollars coming in, I need my Y dollars that are going out to be underneath that, simply because we always want that little bit of a cushion mm-hmm. in there between what's coming in, what's going out. We also need to kind of be thinking about it from the perspective of, if everything that comes in goes out, I'm never going to be saving or investing anything over yeah. the course of a lifetime, and I'm certainly not going to be able to give anything. Because I'm going to be thinking about, I need every last piece of this just to survive.
Yeah, so we're all on a fixed income. Just that amount of income might change. And really, that retirement's more like going towards a change of employer.
Where exactly.
You're your own boss. You're not worried about what the corporate office is going to allow that income to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, that fixed income side, whether that's from some of the investments we've got, whether it's from something like Social Security, sometimes we have to go out and supplement that fixed income because we do need to go out and work maybe 10 hours in a week mm-hmm. because we didn't have enough of those other pieces coming together. One of the biggest reasons I see for that, again, part of that special teams concept here, is folks are coming into retirement and they still have 15, 20, 25 years left on a mortgage, right? Having those debts paid off when you walk into your retirement years, in particular, having your mortgage paid off by then, typically frees up anywhere between 20 and 30% of that monthly cash flow.
Yeah.
Which means we can survive on less, in fact, 20 to 30% less in those retirement years than we did when we were working, simply because we don't have that large payment every single month.
Yeah, and that also can keep you retired and enjoying life and not having to punt and head back to punching a time clock.
Exactly. Not that all punters are bad, but I'm not as big a fan of punting as some people are. Now, I was a big fan of the punt receiver when it was Devin Hester, because he had the opportunity to take it to the house anytime, kind of like Coach Prime did when he was playing, had that ability to take it to the house anytime. But the idea is we don't want to throw our punter out there on the field.
Unless you have one of the best punters in the league and you can really use that to determine that goal and being able to, you know, push something around, you know, maybe that savings and not exactly getting it now, but punt it to later, make that plan, get it tied back in, you know, the 10-5 yard range and give yourself plenty of time to budget that purchase moving back forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, you're learning, Andrew. The professor is happy. You are learning these things. You're actually starting to sound a little bit like you've heard somebody say that once or twice.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, when you can equate it to, you know, someone like a Jack Fox, it makes a lot more sense all of a sudden.
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And, you know, part of that special teams along the way, right? It's not just looking out for the debt, knowing what's coming in and going out. It's also, even along that route, taking the opportunity to say, okay, what's coming up? What am I going to need to maybe save a little money for over the, you know, I'm going to retire in 15 years. What am I going to need to save maybe a little extra for in these 15 so that when I get to retirement, I don't have XYZ expense? One of those things that I actually talked about with my parents as we were doing their retirement planning was, you guys have over 100,000 miles on the vehicles. In those retirement years, are you guys going to want to have something new to drive?
Yeah.
Because if that's the case, these next 3, 4, 5 years, we need to be putting stuff away so that we can just go pay for it with cash.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be brand new, but, you know, You can get something maybe that's a year old, 2 years old, that has 15, 20, 25,000 miles on it, because in your retirement years, you're probably not necessarily driving quite as much as you were in your work years, typically.
But it also depends on kind of what that view of retirement is, because
yes,
maybe that view of retirement is getting a truck and a fifth wheel, and you got to put a lot of miles on it,
right,
and be prepared for that as well, not just the standard issued gold champagne colored Lexus that it seems like everyone gets once they hit retirement.
Exactly, exactly. In fact, in that retirement year sort of concept, my mom got one of the small SUVs. I think it's a Chevy Equinox is what she ended up with. Complete and total sidebar on that. When my dad went to buy it, he went to the Chevy dealer in town, said, "Hey guys, I'm back." And they just looked at him because he had last bought a Chevy 40 years prior. So one Chevy every 40 years for him, because he's a Ford guy.
Well, that's a surprisingly good record, though, for only needing a Chevy every 40 years.
Well, that's not only needing. That's just only buying
okay. In
there. Because in the meantime, we had gone through several Ford vehicles. Everything from, as a kid, we went from the Thunderbird to the Econoline van to the Taurus, and then the next Taurus, and then the next Taurus. And then it was from one of those Taurus purchases that my mom eventually gets to the Equinox. Dad's had an F-150 for as long as I can remember, except for that small frame when he had an F-250 in there.
Speaking of F-150s, how's Grant's truck doing?
You know, I've been told that it's working out all right.
All right.
So I haven't you know, delved too deeply into my truck that's up in Montana at the moment. But I've been told that it's all right up there these days. No new dents, no new dings. So it's all in good condition up there. So going into retirement, right? Mom, Dad, what are you guys going to do? Okay, here's what we need to do to prepare for this. Let's set some money aside now so that we can pay cash for that car. Dad, okay, you're not going to want the new truck until maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years into the retirement world because you're not driving nearly as much. So we can push that a little further down. He'll probably get a new truck probably now in about 1 to 2 years is that time frame on there. But the idea being we've set those dollars aside. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to make that major purchase with cash we have available because – we've budgeted. We know what the inflow is each month. We know what the outflow is. About 2 years before they retired, we wrote the check and paid off the house because I told them we don't need the mortgage debt going in. You've got the money. Let's pay for it right now. He also paid off the boat because, you know, Southern Illinois, you got plenty of lakes, had a nice little crappie boat to be able to take out and, you know, kind of get into those little coves and do some nice bluegill and crappie fishing from there, a little bit of bass every once in a while. So we paid for the boat. We finished paying off the tractor because he's got 10 acres that he mows with the tractor. And we walked into retirement totally debt-free.
Yeah, and that's one of those plannings and kind of going back to that special teams mindset is that you've really got to have those kind of portions of your game plan, your financial game plan really, you know, set up. Because if not, it's like going out there with a kicker that's going to miss every field goal attempt, every, you know, point after attempt, and you're just kind of shooting yourself in the foot, leaving those points on the board and really, you know, not having that money available to use and tied up in other not necessary ways.
Exactly. And, you know, every once in a while, if we haven't gone through, we haven't done all of that good work, every once in a while we get a double doink that happens in a playoff game where you could have beaten Philadelphia, but your kicker maybe didn't exactly match up to what he could have been in that game. Not to drop any names, Cody Parkey, in case he's listening, but as a Bears fan, you remember things like that every once in a while.
Or, you know, you go from having that set up and then things happen and change, and you've had, you know, one of the more solid kickers through history, and all of a sudden, in the span of 3 years, you've gone through 11 different kickers trying to get back to that stability you once have.
Yes, yes, that's one of those spots where you know, you just long for the days of gold, if I can throw that out there.
Well, I think he's still on the free agency list if anyone over in Allen Park is listening and and don't want to keep going on this roller coaster.
Yes, yes. Yeah, just you know, just kind of some thoughts in there today, Andrew. The football world that we're about to walk into, right? We've had week 1 of the NCAA season. That is behind us. Week 1 of the NFL season, technically, at date of recording, is ahead of us, but by the first playing, the first game will have been over. Andrew, I'm hoping, for your sake, you have a Good Friday this week.
You and me both.
Because I don't know, if you need somebody for the extra this week, you're just going to holler at me and I'll come take care of you.
Luckily, I think Justin's got that one done. Okay. This is something where, you know, again, looking good, and you have the investors, you have the markets and the economy actually putting some faith in this bond rating.
Yes.
That's traditionally been shaky, and we'll see if it's worth all the backing and all the support that the economy and the investors think it's worth, or if it is that bubble that might end up bursting in national fashion.
Yeah, well, the whole thing here, as I put that analyst hat on, I think we're going to see a good game Thursday night.
Yeah,
I think we're going to see some pretty decent scoring. You know, in our fantasy football draft last night, nobody took the Kansas City defense for week 1.
Yeah,
so that tells me there are a lot of folks thinking that Detroit might put up some pretty good numbers this week.
Well, in last time we saw a certain pair of quarterbacks go at it. It was one of the more high-scoring affairs of modern times.
Yes.
So we will see. Of course, you know, things are changed. You know, Jared Goff's not going to be dressed as a highlighter.
True. But, very true.
You know, he's got a lot of pieces around him this year.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So there's some plus side out here, right? There's that piece where if you're that coaching staff who has seen what's going on, you've gone through, you've built up, okay, this is the kind of offense we want. This is the kind of defense we want. These are the plays we're going to work on running. Yes, we might script a few, you know, 5, 8, 10 early, but I've got the whole play sheet that reminds me of when I'm at, you know, second and short on this part of the field. These are our best options to run at this point in time. We've got the coaching staff. They put the game plan together. Ultimately, it just becomes how well do we execute?
Yeah, and that goes back to how that coach gets you prepared as well, and that goes back to making sure on that financial side you're working with somebody who's going to have you prepared for that day where you finally pull the trigger and say, all right, it's time to go. Let's get, you know, all of our ducks in a row for that retirement at the end of the year. And not having to be like, well, I was going to retire, but something happened and we didn't execute properly back then.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that I absolutely love, and I had a client a few years ago whom I had asked, when you get to your retirement days, when you are actually retired, you're no longer working, what's the one question that you want to answer every single day? Right? And it could be quite anything. Mm-hmm. And his statement to me was, I just want to wake up and just figure out what color of shorts I'm going to wear today.
Yeah.
So went through the process, did all the analysis, got him to that spot, and I said, guess what question you need to start asking? He said, what? I said, what color of shorts am I going to wear? And that's beautiful, being able to deliver that kind of news to folks to say, guess what? We've been doing this, we've executed the plan, and it has worked. It's time to just go enjoy the press conference.
Yeah, go take a knee, watch the clock run down, and go off in a blaze of glory.
Exactly. Victory formation. Folks, if you've got questions about your victory formation, how close you are to it, what does it take to get there, you can feel free to give me a call, 719-500-8700. We'll sit down. That consultation is absolutely complimentary. We'll figure out what it's going to take to get you where you need to be, how long it's going to take to get you back to that Super Bowl, your retirement years. That's all the time we've got for this week on Money Matters. We'll be back again next week continuing to talk about your money because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.